Hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go F1 podcast, a Formula One podcast that talks about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. My name's Diane Bortoletto, and I'm your pre-Drive to Survive Formula One fan. And today I'm in a absolutely freezing cold Margaret River in southwestern Western Australia.
And I'm Monique Chicardo, your post-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and I am sitting in my home in Stavanger in Norway, and it's hilarious looking at you all rugged up thinking it is so cold in Margaret River in Western Australia when I live in Stavanger in Norway and it actually does get cold.
Well, look, today's top temperature is 14 degrees, which
is
pretty much as, I know, it's as cold as it gets here, and for me that's, it's like, but it feels like 10, you know, if you look at the weather app. So it's, I know it sounds hilarious to you, but it's freezing here for me.
Do you know why it sounds hilarious? Because it's about 14 degrees here at the moment as well, and it's summer. So
14 over there feels different to 14 here. You got to
exactly
admit that.
Exactly. You guys live in, well, you guys, I lived in Western Australia all my life. We live in ice boxes in Australia, so it feels very, very different, yes. But anyway.
Yes. It's been a non-race week, but a massive week in news. So Christian Horner has been given the boot from Red Bull unceremoniously with effective immediately and not even a very carefully worded statement from Red Bull Racing that he's just been let go effective immediately. So
from anyone,
no reasons, okay, no explanation.
See, this is the bit that I love the most, that there are no explanations. There has been no reason given. When they do that, they have left the door wide open for all the speculation. Like, I don't know, maybe it was because Christian Horner reversed into Helmut Marko's car and instead of saying sorry, went, screw you. And drove off. Like, maybe that's why he got ceremoniously dumped. Who knows?
Everyone's got theories. You know, you've probably read as much, you know, of the theories and rumors and innuendos, you know, that I have online. But I can't help but feel it's linked to a few things. I don't think it's one thing, but I think it all started
absolutely
with the sexting, texting inappropriately to a work colleague. And
I legitimately thought you said the sexing. I didn't hear the ter in that, the sexting.
Yeah.
So I was like, sorry, the what?
Well, he probably was sexing as well for all we know. But I have seen somewhere that the woman in question, the employee, was Adrian Newey's PA. And then Adrian didn't like any of that. And that was one of the reasons why he left Red Bull. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've seen.
There's obviously a lot that's going on internally because we've seen Adrian Newey leave. There was one other person, high profile, who
Jonathan wasn't. Wheatley.
Thank you. Jonathan Wheatley has left. And then not only was it Horner that left this next round, there were another two people that were
exactly
booted
Paul
out of
Smith,
the team.
The communications director, is one that got the boot, and
ooh,
he
that's
was
interesting,
one that
isn't
was
it?
Seen. Yeah, he was seen arguing with Christian Horner and Jos Verstappen after the British Grand Prix. I mean, this smells of Jos Verstappen. You know, this is probably taken 18 months for him to orchestrate since the sexting.
thank you,
sexting gate. For somebody that's worked for an organisation for so long, 20 years, so he was given a second chance when the internal investigation was happening with the sexting that was going on. He was cleared of that.
Mm.
He kept his job. Woman didn't keep her job. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know if she was paid to keep quiet. We don't know if it actually was false. We don't know. But the fact that it hasn't gone away leaves you wondering.
Yeah, and that there hasn't been much transparency about what exactly happened, because generally when it's kept hush-hush and people aren't talking much about it, it very much like this situation with Horner being booted, it's very hush-hush. There's something that they're trying to cover. There is something there that they do not want people to know, and it's not good. You know, that's, it's PR 101. You give people bits of information, but not the information. I'm saying this, I just watched the Pooh Cruise last night, and that was
I can't bring myself to watch it. It just looks so disgusting. I just can't.
Oh, it's not actually as I thought it was going to be way better. I thought it was going to be grosser. But in that as well, they were saying, you know, the PR was like, oh, you know, we sent out an immediate release to kind of just say that the ship was broken down and that it wasn't moving, and you leave out the fact that the toilets aren't working. You just give them the bits of things that they need to know and leave out everything else. Yeah. And that's what's happening here. In all steps of this process, from the sexting scandal through to Verstappen leaving. That's probably going to happen too, but
well,
through to Horner leaving.
well, Max Verstappen has been seen in Sardinia with Toto Wolff.
They're not just running into each other by accident, are they?
No, I've seen photos. Again, might not be real in this day and age of AI, but I've seen photos of Toto Wolff boarding Max Verstappen's private jet, allegedly. But another report I saw said that Toto Wolff and Max Verstappen's boats were both in Sardinia. So, don't know what to believe, but, they could both be in Sardinia at the same time. So, that's either contract is being signed or
holidaying together because we've already signed a contract and you're our new driver, or
maybe
trying to sweeten the deal.
Yeah, maybe Christian got the boot because they lost Max.
That's what I said. In all these wild theories that I've been coming up with in my head, because why wouldn't you when you're given nothing to work with?
It's so juicy.
Maybe that was the last straw. You know, everything's imploding with Red Bull. The car's crap. Watched my language
this year's
there.
Car. Yes.
This year's car's cap is crap. That second seat, the drama surrounding that second seat, the inability to get their second driver to gel with that car, and now Max leaving, potentially.
If
that could have been the last straw. That was just like, you know, we need a new team principal.
Or it could be a last-ditch attempt from Red Bull with the camp Verstappen saying, it's Max or Horner, you choose.
Yeah.
And they could have given an ultimatum for Max to stay at Red Bull.
Yeah.
Plus, the other thing that's got to play out as well is next year, whole new regulations, and Red Bull are making their own power unit. So maybe that's not on schedule. And Christian Horner is the head of the power unit team division, whatever you want to call it. So normally that in team structures, there's somebody separate that heads up that team. But Christian Horner wanted to head up that division as well. So maybe the power unit's behind schedule. Maybe it's a dud. Maybe it is. Maybe Max doesn't want to take a chance on something brand new like that and wants to go to a team that's a known quantity like Mercedes.
Yeah. Do you know what? Max hates drama. Maybe he's just over all the drama and just gone, you know what? I'm out of this. I'm clean. I just need somewhere where I can race. Like you could just go with so many things. Like I said, it literally, maybe Christian Horner clocked Helmut Marko. And that was the reason that he got dismissed right away.
Maybe Christian Horner's found someone else to text with. Maybe it's happened again and they've gone, that's it, last straw. We're not covering this up for you again.
Yep.
If the first one was indeed true, even though he's on paper got cleared of it.
Do you know what the saddest thing about all of this is for me? Ginger Spice, she's not going to be in the paddock anymore.
Yeah, wearing white.
Yeah, white, full white outfit in the paddock. Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell. No, obviously I'm not that shallow. I mean, I must admit I did kind of like my little, you know, 90s throwback seeing her there. But
I do love that he's married to a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
So just so Formula One.
Right?
But, I mean, I do feel sorry for her in all of this because like you've said 100 times, rumors don't start from nowhere. If he's a player or if he is sending inappropriate texts to a female staff member or not, or to somebody else, you know, being his wife and having all that play out publicly would just be so hard. Like, so hard. And that whole show of solidarity the week after when he got cleared and he was back in the paddock just looked so forced as well, and unnatural, and well, not unnatural, but uncomfortable.
It
didn't really, when the world's eyes are on you and you know that as soon as you walk in, there's going to be 100 photographers there taking photos, watching your every expression, you know, whether you flinch, whether you lean too lean far or whatever.
And that one moment that you go and they take a photo, they're going to put a million and five stories behind that, when really you're just going, I got to put the roast on, don't I?
Not you, because you don't like roasts.
No.
You
know? But it's Sunday race day. They've got to put the roast on in light of all this. It kind of begs the question, is Christian Horner done in F1 now, or is he going to potentially move to Alpine, or like
I've seen Ferrari rumours, which I don't like.
No, I'd rather him go to Alpine and work with Flavio Briatore, because everyone, if you listen, knows how much I like him. Yeah. Yes.
Apparently they're friends. Apparently they know each other quite well. He doesn't fit Team Ferrari. I can't see Christian Horner working with Ferrari. I can't see him gelling with Ferrari, the brand, and Christian Horner, the man, the brand. No.
Yeah. Also, can you imagine him getting into arguments with hot-headed Italians? Absolutely not. That's going to be bad. That's going to be bad. I mean, Flavio is a hot-headed Italian, but like, he's the kind of Italian that I think, you know, his brand and Horner's brand are more closely aligned, I think.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Agreed.
Even though, and it's so funny, I look at photos of Christian Horner, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and he looks like a little, you know, he kind of looks like he should be an accountant or something. Like, he doesn't look like a fiery, you know, slightly conniving person.
This goes to show you can't judge a book, can you?
No. I mean, he does a lot more now.
Yeah. Well, I think as far as Christian Horner and the news goes, we're just going to have to watch his space and see how it plays out. I mean, he's still on the books with Red Bull. He's still being paid as a Red Bull employee.
Did you see that he, something about like the payout clause, and he was going to try and get, I think, $50 million for the payout of his contract, which is supposed to go to 2030.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, his contract's to 2030. I read somewhere that he was on $8.9 million a year.
Around 50 million.
Imagine, my God, just like Daniel Ricciardo, right? Getting paid out $20 million to leave McLaren,
right?
$20 million to leave a job that's annoying you anyway. Like,
Why? It's, you know, now I need to find a job like that just so I can leave it.
Yeah. I know, gosh, how the other half live, right?
I know. But, can I talk about some other news that I really love?
Yes.
James Vowles had his second baby. James Vowles is a daddy again.
Yeah, we saw those pictures of James Vowles and his little bubba. And speaking of bubbas, is there any other news, Mon, about babies?
Might be a little one in me, but
it's very, very, very happy news. So you guys, Monique's going to be a mum at the end of the year. She's got a Christmas baby due.
So if I've been very opinionated, now you know why. Or if I've been very short and curt and can't be bothered giving you my opinion because it all hurts too much, that is why.
There's been days when you have been exceptionally moody, so, you know, like more so than normal, more than the normal fiery, moody Italian.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yes. So anyway, I'm Team Vowles.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
But I'm very much Team Vowles now, because I'm in that club, soon to be in that club.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy for him. And I just think it's so adorable because he's such a sweetheart from what I can see. Like, I saw another video of him this week where he was, I don't know what was happening, but he was being like, he was on camera and having to talk, and he was talking about how nervous he gets and like, how he was going to stuff up or that he's going to look silly. And I was like, oh, it's so cute. Like, he's so well spoken that for him to get so nervous and show that was very sweet.
It seems really unwarranted that he would feel nervous because he's so accomplished and, like you said, so educated, so well spoken. He knows his subject matter inside and out, but for him to feel like that is it just goes to show he's a humble person.
Yeah, and I think that's what is so endearing about him as well, is that he is humble and he's okay to show that side of him. I think it was on Drive to Survive. I don't know if it was just a social media clip or if it was on Drive to Survive where he was talking about how he was dreaming of signing Carlos signs. Like, he was like, I dream of Carlos signs at night. And I was like, you are the cutest. This is amazing. Like, he's not afraid to say, as a grown man, he's dreaming about Carlos.
And he's not the only person in the world dreaming of Carlos Sainz at night either.
Probably for different reasons, maybe, potentially. I mean, I don't know who else is dreaming about signing him, but, you know, people dream about him, I'm sure.
Other news, you may have seen that Cadillac are making a documentary about the building of their team with Keanu Reeves.
I did, yes, with Keanu. That's so good. Everyone loves Keanu Reeves.
More F1 content, I say. That's great.
On the topic of F1 content, you know, I did go and watch the Formula One movie this week, didn't I?
Finally. All right.
Yes. And
okay, so we're going to talk about F1 the movie. If you haven't gone to see F1 the movie, and if you don't want the spoilers, then just hit pause now and come back to the podcast after you've seen the film.
Well, you know, I'm a documentary girl, and I have been vocal about how much I didn't think I would like the movie because I am not a Hollywood kind of gal. My favorite movies are things like Juno and Little Miss Sunshine and Napoleon Dynamite, which are all, like, not your typical.
Many of them.
Yeah, they're more like indie films. They're still, you know, American films, but they're just very, very different to your typical Hollywood movie. So I was very skeptical about the movie, and the general consensus, we went with friends, and the general consensus on the movie was it was fine. So and we say that because we're all Formula One fans, and surprisingly, all the, like, computer CGI stuff during the racing, that was completely fine. That wasn't, like, so out of this realm make-believe that it hurt to watch. What annoyed me more was Brad Pitt's teeth and his...
Did you not know?
Because they're so straight, and when he talks, he kind of talks a bit like this, and he doesn't really move his top lip.
Didn't notice.
I have weird quirks like that, and I pick things up, and then I see it all the time, and I hate it.
Hyperfixate on it and can't stop seeing it.
Yes. So his teeth annoyed me more, and the ridiculous storylines. Oh my God, that was the worst part. That's why we said the movie was fine, because it was good to watch, but the Hollywoodization of the storylines and, like, the typical trope that they feel like they need to throw into every movie, but it's so predictable and it's so just meh. And you've said it before, like, Hollywood, you can pick the storyline and, you know, that person's going to end up with that person. It's going to be happy ending and they're going to do this. And that's what I didn't like. Not that it was terrible.
All right. I liked it. Generally, and I wanted to go back and watch it again straight away. I loved seeing the drivers and the cars, the real drivers and real cars in the film, and the team principals and team personnel and Lewis Hamilton's dog, Roscoe, and all of those bits. I just loved that. And I actually really liked the racing action as well. Racing action was going to be
terrible.
Too over the top.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was actually, I thought, really good.
Yeah.
The storyline, the main arc, I thought was good.
Yeah, like, that was fine.
They don't, but all the sort of subplots within the movie, some of them were, and, you know, the love interest.
Oh, for God's sake.
And as I've written about in an article, and I'm not the first person to say this, but the way women were depicted in that film
was terrible.
And I feel like Formula One, Liberty Media, Lewis Hamilton, Mercedes, all the producers of that movie have a bigger responsibility to portray women on a more equal playing field and in a better light. Like, women are not just Formula One groupies. They are not just love interests. And they don't need a man that hasn't raced for 30 years to come in and tell her how to do her job.
Yeah.
You know, when he'd already acknowledged it takes grit to be a Formula One race engineer.
That character was the one that annoyed me the most, because it was like they had gone, ding, 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 we're going to include women and make it equal. We're going to have a female head engineer. Yay. Brilliant. Fabulous. Why did she have to be the love interest? Why couldn't they why did they have to have Sunny come in and tell her how to do her job? Couldn't they have just made them butt heads and then at the end, then be like, no, we actually work really well together? Like, how hard was that?
Exactly.
Like, why did it have to be this stupid Hollywood?
So that the worst was the only female pit crew who'd mucked up the pit stop. Why did that fumbling person have to be the only woman in the pit crew?
Yep.
Why couldn't it have been a young male apprentice who was, you know, buckling under the pressure of having to perform a pit stop, or just anyone else except the only female, you know, or have more than one woman in the pit crew team? It just seemed like that had me in the cinema just going, oh, come on. Like,
I rolled to the extreme. It wasn't even a necessary storyline. Like, you could have just removed that and the movie wouldn't have been any worse off.
Exactly.
So,
speaking of removed, the woman who played the love interest of Sunny's teammate, she got completely cut out. Simone. Oh, my God, what's her name? She was in Bridgerton.
No idea, because I haven't seen Bridgerton.
But we have such different tastes in things. So the fourth female character that was cut out, that was Simone Ashley. So she starred in Bridgerton and she was teammate.
Oh, Joshua Pierce, JP?
Yes. So she was supposed to play his love interest and she filmed with them for 2 years and then all of her scenes got cut.
Yeah, which is pretty poor. I mean, like I said, I don't think it has affected the film in any way, shape or form, but the fact that she was cast and filmed for 2 years and then it was cut is pretty sad.
Sad for her.
But I find, like, again, why did there need to be a love interest for him in the first place? Like, Joshua Pierce, I think that was his name in the film. You know, there didn't need to be love stories in this film. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's like what Hollywood feels like they need to throw in there to make it a film. No, you don't.
I did like the storyline that the team had to, they really needed a miracle in order to survive, all that, you know, the team boss was going to have to find a new job, basically.
Except for that it was only 7 races. And somehow, miraculously, they managed to win. Sorry, spoiler alert, guys. Should have said this at the start. Somehow they managed to win after those 7 races because Sunny crashed out, like, what, 6 times in one race? Because that happens and that's allowed.
There were lots of things that are not allowed in Formula One and lots of things that just wouldn't have happened. Like, there is no way in the world the winner of a race would just leave and not do media. No way in the world. You know, no way in the world would he be allowed to crash so many times and get away with it? You know, like,
no way in the world could he dictate strategy from the car, the entire team strategy, and go against the strategist and tell the strategist what the other driver needs to do.
I don't know. I feel like Fernando Alonso does that sometimes in the past.
Not like that.
No, not like that. That was extreme. Yeah. Okay. Granted.
Yeah.
But on the whole, out of 10, for entertainment value, I'm giving it 9 out of 10.
Because I found it
entertaining.
Yeah. Wow.
I found it entertaining. I wasn't reaching for my phone. I wasn't bored. I wasn't looking around for factualness. I mean, for them claiming the most authentic F1 movie ever made, how women are depicted?
Zero.
It's going to get like zero.
Mm.
Yeah. One thing I will say is that it's not ageist. I haven't seen anybody else say that about the film, but young people doing things, old people doing things as well. Mm. And Hollywood is always, nearly always guilty of having super young people doing things that are far beyond their experience levels. And it was the opposite in this case. It was Sonny Hayes who was
doing
far
things
beyond his use by date as far as being a Formula One driver goes.
Yes.
So, like, at least it's not ageist.
I'm with you. I thought I was going to fall asleep. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the movie did start at 8 p.m. and I don't understand why they make movies so long these days. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was long.
Wow. Why do we need
all
3 hours?
Entertainment value. Give it out of 10, Mon.
I would say, again, I didn't fall asleep. I'd say 7. It was fine. Yeah. Like, I didn't walk out. I'd probably put it on if it came out on Netflix. I'd put it on and have it in the background or watch it again. Like, it's not a complete dumpster fire like I thought it was going to be. So 7 out of 10 entertainment value, I think. But definitely agree with you, 0 out of 10 on how it depicts women, factualness. Yeah, it was pretty low, aside from, like, the cameos by, which, to be honest, I did think it was kind of a little bit weird that they would have so much realness with the cameos and the cars and all that kind of stuff, but then have these completely wacko storylines that would never happen in F1. I was like, that's a bit of a weird combination. But, you know, I guess they do have to have an entertainment value of some sort for people who maybe don't watch Formula One or haven't watched Formula One and still want to see the movie. The commentary, oh my gosh, the commentary.
Oh, but at least they used Martin Brundle, you know, and Crofty.
Yes, yes. So the voices were familiar, but like, oh, and they're changing the wing. I guess they've got to do that to make sure the downforce isn't effect. I was like, oh my God. Oh my wow. But again, if you don't watch Formula One, then you kind of need, it's like in Drive to Survive, all that fake commentary over the top. You kind of need it to understand what's happening. So I get it. But also I was like,
I only found myself cringing really badly a couple of times, maybe 3 times during the film when the female mechanic saying the
when
leaving after media and also being substituted when he didn't do quali.
You
can't
substitute
a driver that hasn't participated in quali.
Right.
But for a non-fan, those things wouldn't have mattered. And for the entertainment value, like if you can just look past that, it's actually a really entertaining film.
Yeah.
And it had me cheering for the team. I was cheering for Apex Media, wanting them to win and do well.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd go see it again.
It could have been a lot worse with like all the computerization. And like, I do think they did a really, really good job. And I would love, love, love to hear what other people think about it too, if you have gone and seen the film. Good, bad, ugly, you know, stupendously, beautifully, wonderful. Tell us what you think, because it's always so interesting as well to hear the different points of view from people who, you know, maybe have, like yourself, watched Formula One for many years, pre-Drive to Survive, people post-Drive to Survive, people just starting on their F1 journey, people who have never seen F1 before. You know, it'll be interesting to see how we all compare that.
And male to female viewpoints as well. Obviously, we're picking up on how the women are depicted. And when I've seen other commentary around that since the film's been released, it's been by other women. I think I've only seen one man comment on that. But maybe the male audience
doesn't
register with him. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, where in this entire situation was there a man that was depicted as being incompetent in this film? Except
the Ford member?
No, he was just being an a-hole. He wasn't being incompetent. Mm-hmm. He said that he didn't know anything about it. He binged Drive to Survive and then he learned. But he wasn't depicted as being incompetent. He was depicted as being sly and conniving and wanting fame and power and that sort of thing, which, you know, not surprised. But nowhere was there a male being depicted as being incompetent. Yet the two female characters in the film, and there was the mother as well, but she played a different role of obviously being concerned. But the two female characters that were involved in the team, both depicted as being incompetent.
Yeah, so this is true.
So then, interesting. I can kind of understand then why men maybe didn't pick up on that, because it's not something that they're used to necessarily seeing so often in films. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but also it's something that needs to be pointed out.
Yeah, I think it needs to be called out 100%.
Mm. Look at Susie Wolf. Is she incompetent? Susie Wolf is amazing.
No, this is what needs to happen next, right? Susie Wolf needs to go and make a film about F1 Academy, or make a movie about Formula One, and have the say in the script and in the storylines and the characters, because I'm sure if she were at the helm, this would not have been the case.
If you guys have liked what you've listened to or watched, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can hit the like button. You can leave us a comment. You can leave us a rating on any of your favorite podcast listening apps or YouTube. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok if you want to see some short little clips from our full episodes. Highly recommend if you do see some of those short little clips on any of our social media pages that you do go and listen to the full episode for the entire context of what we are talking about. And you can also email us at andawaywego f1podcast@gmail.com.
So we'll be back next week after Spa, which is always a great entertaining race. Thank you, Mon. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for having us in your ears. Until next week and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato. Let's do it.